Out-of-control federal spending was the theme relentlessly hammered by GOP candidates leading up to the midterm elections. Tea Partiers in particular raged about bailouts, earmarks, and general government profligacy, and the message resonated. But then, as if on cue, this week the chairman of the president's bipartisan panel on deficit reduction issued a draft proposal that made it all too clear that discretionary spending, where all the anger was focused, is not where the trouble lies. The real cuts must center on military and entitlements, Social Security, Medicare, and so on, which few politicians ever will have the will to cut. To University of California linguist Jeffrey Nunberg, the indignation so ubiquitous in sound bites is and always will be incompatible with the real problem.
You have this wonderful rhetoric of waste, fraud, and abuse, or waste, fraud, and inefficiency, or waste, fraud, and dishonor. I mean, it's had all these forms since the 19th century, which suggests that you really can just cut the fat, as people like to say.
They're talking about cutting the fat. Meantime, there's a giant carcass called entitlement programs in a meat locker that, until now, nobody's talked about trimming at all. As a linguist, how would you focus attention on that carcass?
Well, I don't think there's any way to make that palatable or to sell that symbolically to people. When you say to someone, you're going to have to work another 3 years before you take Social Security, or you're going to lose your mortgage deduction, nobody's going to be able to accept that, and there's no buzz phrase that's going to make it more palatable to the voter.
But at the same time, Alan Simpson, the Republican co-chair, found a metaphor. He talked about the difference between minnows, and I guess he means waste, fraud, and corruption, as opposed to the whales that are the fat part of the budget. What about whales? You like whales?
Well, whales is great, but if you say to people that waste, fraud, and corruption are minnows, it's going to sound as if you're slighting them or making them less important than they are. And people will come back with all these horror stories. And it doesn't matter if it only involves $31,000 from a project in Kansas or $212,000 that went to what looks like a silly research project. The horror and the delight that people take in recounting these is the same as if you're talking about $3 billion.
William Proxmire, a Democrat, made a career out of identifying what at first glance looked like silly, wasteful domestic programs, because people were so quick to get angry about them. So why is it so hard to imagine a politician making political hay, and I'm going to mix some metaphors here in front of a linguist, and I apologize for that, make hay targeting whales and not minnows?
I don't think very many politicians who are serving now and who want to be reelected are going to see any incentive, any interest in telling people Social Security checks are going to be cut, your medical benefits are going to be cut. It's not going to happen. What has happened that's interesting is that retired politicians and people who are, so to speak, out of it can say these things. And that may help. But politicians who do vote for these things, whether they're on the left or the right, depending on the cuts involved, are going to find themselves attacked for it the next time they run for office.
You know, I saw in an Ezra Klein blog post in the Washington Post, he referred to what is, in effect, an itemized tax bill for a hypothetical taxpayer paying $5,400 in federal income tax and FICA combined. And it breaks it down so that you can see you pay $1,040 in Social Security, $625 in Medicare, $385 in Medicaid, military is about $1,000, and then you get down to things like Amtrak, $2.23.
Right.
Foreign aid is, you know, $20 or something like that. Funding for the arts, 24 cents. It does a nice job of putting things in perspective. What do you think about the itemized bill thing? Should politicians be sending it to us?
That might help, but my sense is that if you cast those percentages out as raw numbers, people are still going to be shocked and indignant because it's enjoyable. No matter that an expense of $1,200,000 or $54,000 for this or that boondoggle means very little, almost is trivial against the federal budget. $54,000 to the average person is a humongous amount of money. And the indignation's exactly the same as if you were talking about $5 billion wasted on no-bid contracts for Blackwater.
Let me see if I understand this right. Are you saying that language has the power to amplify human psychology but not to defeat it?
In a way, that's right. Walter Lippmann talked about the need in a democratic society where the facts, as he said, exceed our curiosity to resort to symbolic activity. Symbols, he said, things that assemble emotions after they've been detached from ideas. And I think it's at the level of symbolic activity that these phrases really operate most efficiently. A phrase like trim the fat has a symbolic resonance that some more accurate and precise description might not, just because people don't really want to know. As Lippmann said, the facts exceed our curiosity.
Well, Jeff, as always, thank you so much.
Well, thanks for having me.
Jeffrey Nunberg is a linguist at the University of California at Berkeley.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.